Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Menaches Koftes. We begin at the Mishnah, which is five lines from the top of the Amud. So this Mishnah relates to the period at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, where we had a great Kohen Gadol by the name of Shimon HaTzadik, who was the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And after his passing, he had two sons, Chanyai and Shimi. And due to some unfortunate episode, which the Gemara will present for us on Amud Beis, his son Chanyai escaped to Egypt, to Alexandria, and there he built a mizbeach. According to the Rambam, he actually built a structure which resembled, in its configuration, resembled the Beis HaMikdash. It was sort of a duplicate. In it, he built a mizbeach, and they were makriv karbonis. Now, according to some, it was actually for Avodah Zarah, turned into an idol-worshipping arena. According to others, which is the Shita reflected in our Mishnah, which is Shita's Rabbi Yehuda coming up later, it wasn't Chas V'Shalom meant for Avodah Zarah. It was merely a place to bring karbanis, but actually it was illegal, because when we have a Beis HaMikdash, you're not meant to have this type of, you know, alternate mizbeach. It's called a bama, right? So you're not meant to make this this type of mizbeach outside the Beis HaMikdash, but ultimately it wasn't really Avodah Zarah, and did not have a status of, you know, of that type of that type of halachic status. Okay, so in any case, the Mishnah begins with a fellow who committed himself, who pledged to bring in oila. Harei alai oila. Now he can bring it in the Beis HaMikdash, but there's that other place called Beis Chanyai in Egypt. Where should he bring it? Yakrivena b'Mikdash, of course. Bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, as is appropriate. Let's say he didn't. He lives in Egypt, decide, you know what, I'm going to just do it over here, locally. If he did it locally in Beis Chanyai, lo yatsa. He hasn't really fulfilled his pledge. He promised to bring a proper oil, a proper carbon, which is offered properly in the Beis HaMikdash. However, harei alai oilo. Shakribenu beis chonyoy, if initially he committed himself to an oilo. On condition, with the intention of being makribin in beis chonyoy, which is not really the Beis HaMikdash. So, ideally, he should bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, as is appropriate for a korban, yakriven b'Mikdash. Rashi explains, because once he pledged an oila, he's chayv to bring an oila, which means in the Beis HaMikdash. But, says the Mishnah, chidush, v'im yakriva beis chonyo yotza. But in this case, since he stipulated the beis chonyo option, if he brings it there, he's yotze. And Rashi refers to the Gemara, which the Gemara will actually analyze as halacha, and according to some opinions, yeah, he's yaitze, meaning he doesn't have to bring another one, but really, he violated a grave isser, transgressed the isser of shechut echutz. He took a real carbon and did it outside the Mikdash. That's a isser of shechut echutz, which gets curries, but we're not discussing that aspect of this unfortunate, you know, behavior. We're just focused on the fact that he was yotze. After all, he doesn't have to bring another carbon because initially this is what he committed to. Rabbi Shimon Aymer Einzu Oila. He says, look, if you plan on bringing Beis Chonyoy, that's not a place for a carbon, so it's a non-starter. And some relate to Rabbi Shimon's opinion by the Mincha, where we learned that if he pledges in a manner which is abnormal, which is not kederach haminad, not the way of doing things, it doesn't really take off. There's no commitment. So there's no commitment. There's not even an oila. Another example would be by a nazir. Says the Mishnah, all these options apply to a nazir as well. Harini nazir, I'm committing to be a nazir. Standard nazir has to bring karbonis at the end of the process. Where in the Beis HaMikdash, you got leach, you should shave, meaning you should bring the karbonis that come along with the shaving. Ba Mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, as is appropriate. However, if he chose to do it out in Beis Chonyoy, lo yotza, he has to redo it. He hasn't fulfilled his. But if initially he intended on doing it down there, harei di nazar shegalech beis chonyoy, being a nazar condition, then I'll do the karbanas there. So ideally, you should do it in the Mikdash. You got lechem Mikdash, but otherwise, in Gilach Veischan, if you did it over there, Yatza, because that's all he committed to. Reb Shimon Aimer, once again, it's a non-starter. There's no commitment in this case. Ein zeh nozer. Okay, so now the Mishnah spoke about a fellow who initially committed himself to an oila with the intent, I'm doing it in a Beis Chanyoy. And the Mishnah says, if he does it in a Beis Chanyoy, he is Yoytze. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? He pretty much, killed the animal. He did it outside the Midrash. That's not a proper Akrava. I mean, he promised an oila, and now he's killing it in Beis Chanyoy. It's not an act of Akrava. How's that considered a fulfillment? Yotza, he was Yoytze. Hamiktol Kotli, killed the animal. I'm Rav Hamnuna, so we have two pshat. First, Rav Hamnuna. You're right, really, it is a carbon oila. Because once he says, Hare alai oila, an oila is an oila. But when he added the point that it's going to be on condition, al manas to bring it over there, based chanyai, in effect, what he's saying is, look, I'm not going to look after it, I'm not responsible for it. Whatever happens, happens. It's like he's saying, look, I'm going to bring the oil, but I might kill it on the way. So, technically, he fulfilled his pledge. But Rashi points out he's chayev because he did shechut echut. He took a real legitimate carbon. According to Rav Nuna, this carbon has legitimacy. It had carbon status. And if he does it anywhere outside the Middash, he did shechut echut, and he's over a tremendous avera. But, in terms of the nether, technically, he's off the hook. Okay, Amar Rav Nuna Nasa Kohen. It's like he says, Hare Alai Oila, I'm bringing Oila, but Amanas, on condition Shalo Yischai Becharis, I'm not responsible for it. Amalei Rabbis, Rabbi responds to this. Explanation. Well, take a look at the next part of the mission. By the Nazar, you can't say that. I'm a real Nazar, but I don't have to look after my Karbonis. There's no such a thing. If you're a Nazar, then you're a Nazar all the way, and you have to take it to the finish line properly, right? Amalei Rabbi Alamiat, if that's the explanation in the Oila Halacha, okay, fine, that works over there, but Seifa, what about the next part? The Tani, we speak about a Nazar, already Nazar. I'm committing to be a Nazar. So I'm entering the Nazar realm. I'm embarking on the Nazar track. Shagalech v'ischonyoy. But I'll bring my Karbonis out there in v'ischonyoy. Mishnah says, Galach v'midosh. Ideally, you should do it in the Midosh. V'migilach v'ischonyoy. If you didn't v'ischonyoy, it's Yatza. So how are you going to explain it over here? Chanam, here too, you're going to say, the Nazar, it's like he stipulated that he's going to be a Nazar without, any additional responsibilities? Harei Nazar Amanas Shelo Yischai Bachrayis Karbonosav, that I'm going to be a Nazar, but I'm not responsible for the Karbonos. I mean, it's one inseparable package. I mean, if you're a Nazar, you have to see it all the way to the finish line. Otherwise, you're not going to complete the Naziris, right? It's part and parcel of the Naziris process. You can't have Nazar without the Karbonos. Nazar, look, a Nazar Kamad Le Maisi Karbonosav, until he brings the Karbonos successfully, Le Miskasher. He won't be deemed to have completed his experience. He won't be able to drink wine, all that. So you can't say that pshat over there. Elamah Rabbah, so Rabbah has a different approach to the Mishnah. It's not really a carbon. Adam zela doyrin is kaven. Look, when he said, I'm going to bring an oila on condition that I'll bring in a beis chanyoy, you know why he's yaitzei? Because he's not really pledging a proper carbon oil, just like a gift, so to speak. He says, look, if I can do it locally, fine. Otherwise, I'm not really committing myself. Adam Zola Doiran, for a gift, like Yaakov Avinu sent to Esav Doiran, right? This Gavin, that was his intention. Not a proper carbon, just like a gift. Omar, he's thinking and he's saying like this. If it's sufficient to bring it locally, I'll bring it over here. I'm not going to, make much more effort than bring it locally. But a bigger effort than that, for instance, bring it up to Yerushalayim, I'm not committing myself. I can't, trouble myself to that extent. The same thing with the Nazar. So according to Rava, this concept applies to Nazar as well. He's not really committing himself to a proper Naziris process. Nazar Nami, the same with the Nazar case. Hi Gavra, Letzuri Nafshika Mechaven. He's not really accepting upon himself a proper Naziris. He's just challenging himself, depriving himself, you know, for Hashem's sake. He's not really becoming a real Nazir. Amar, and again, it's like he's saying, we interpret what he's saying like this, Isagya, if it would be enough, to finish the process over here, to rachna, okay, that I'll trouble myself, but more than that, not. I'm not going to tire myself more than that. So there's a fundamental difference here between Rav Amnuna, who considers the carbon to be a proper carbon, and in fact, if he does it outside Yerushalayim, he's committing shchut echutz, because it's a carbon on condition I'm not going to be looking after it. But going to Rav, no. It's an offering, it's a gift. It's a personal, you know, commitment to be refrain from wine, but it's not truly a nazir, not truly an oila. Rav Amnuna Amar Lach, Amnuna responds to Rava by saying, look, nazir kedika amras. I understand your question regarding the nazir. I mean, you can't really be a nazir and bring your karbonos over here. So that granted, fine. It's not really a nazir. But oila, but in terms of the oila, I can very well see that on the one hand it is a proper oila, but on the condition that I'm not going to look after it. Oila al manas shelo yischaye b'chor yuzakama. So Rav Nun insists that by the oila it can still learn the way he did earlier. Haraya oila means a real oila. Al manas, I'm not going to look after it. And therefore if he addresses it here in Meis Chanyai, he's in compliance with his commitment. Okay, so halachically, the difference between Rava and Rav Amnuna is, what if he takes this oila and does it outside the Midrash? According to Rava, it wasn't really an oila. And it's not chayef for shechut echut, according to Rav Amnuna it is. Vav Rabbi Yochanan, Savala, Laha, the Rav Amnuna, and Rabbi Yochanan also concurs with Rav Amnuna's approach, that when he says Harei Alei Oila Amanas to bring it a Meis Chanyai, technically the animal is a korban, and if he actually does it a Meis Chanyai, although he's Yaitzei, but he is committed Shchut Echutz. Dama Rabba Bar Bachana, Am Rabbi Yochanan Harei Alei Oila Shakriven a Meis Chanyai. That's our case. Vikriva, and he did it somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, you know, not in the Beis Hamikdash. Where is Yisrael? Yatza. So on the one hand, he fulfilled his whatever you want to call it, commitment. Rashi says the chiddush is, even though he didn't actually do it in Beis Chanya, that's not relevant. The point is, he didn't have to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash to fulfill his obligation. Okay, but Vanish Karis, he has committed a tremendous avera because it has an oila status to it. He did the oila outside of Beis Hamikdash. It's correct. Tana Mihav, he finds him in a brisa. Harei alai oila shakrivenu b'midbar. This is a slightly different variation of this case. Rashi says this fellow thinks that in the midbar, because the Mishkan used to be there, so it's okay for bringing karbanos, and that was his stipulation. I'm committing to an oila and bring it in the midbar. V'yikriva v'evyar yardin, and he took it somewhere across the Jordan, meaning in Eretz Yisrael on the west bank of the yardin, but not the Beis Hamikdash. So on the one hand, yatza is deemed fulfilled, because he did commit to more, but va'anush comes. Okay, so then let's recap the Mishnah. Harei alei oila, you got to bring it to Beis Hamikdash. Harei alei oila al manas, I'm going to bring it to Beis Chanyai. So you can bring it to the Mikdash, but otherwise you're also yaitzei. And according to Rav Amnuna and Rav Yechna, there is a isar shchut echutz, because technically it's considered a proper oila. Whereas according to Rava, it is not. And regarding Nazir, Rava explained, and Rav Amnuna agreed, that this type of commitment is not really a true Nazirus. It's just some sort of experience which is modeled after the Nazir experience, but technically it's not a Nazir. Okay, yeah, speaking about Beis Chanyai, says the Mishnah, Kehanim, those Kehanim who went along and worked in Beis Chanyai, served in Beis Chanyai, Sheshimshu Beis Chanyai, Lo Yishamshim B'Migdash B'Yishalayim, She'Yishalayim, they were locked out of the Migdash. So even if the Beis Chanyai arrangement was not a Avodah Zarah, as our Mishnayos are indicating, but at best it was a bama, right? It was an external mizbech, which is not really allowed at that time. So Kehanim who served over there are not allowed back in the Beis HaMikdash. They were penalized. They were not allowed back in. The Einzer Chleima goes without saying, L'davar Achav, they actually were involved in idol worship. Certainly in that case, they cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash any longer. Shenamar, we have a pasuk in Malachim regarding those types of Kehanim who are involved in Avodah Zarah, and they can't do Avodah in Beis HaMikdash. Ach, Shenamar, ach, li'alu Kehanim abomis. The Gehanim who involved in Avodah Zarah, they can't go back on Mizbech Hashem B'Yerushalayim. Kim ochlo matzah, b'sach hachem, they can eat the karbanis. Why? Elu, hari elu kebali mumen. At best, these Kehanim are considered like blemished Kehanim. A regular Kohen who has a Balmum, who's a Balmum, he can't do Avodah, but he can take part in the karbanis. So we didn't disenfranchise them altogether, all the way, but they can't do Avodah, but they can have karbanis. Cholkin, v'ichlin, v'lemakriven, they can't do akriva, but they can take their share in the karbanis. So we learned that if a Kohen was actually doing the Avodah of Avodah Zarah, he's locked out of the Avodah in Beis HaMikdash. What about Shechita Avodah Zarah? Shechita isn't technically an Avodah. Even a non-Kohen can do Shechita by a carbon, right? Even a Zarah. So according to Rav Yehuda, if a Kohen was involved in Shechita Avodah Zarah, since it wasn't an actual act of Avodah, Korbanai Reach Nechayach, so in this case, if he served in the Mikdash, his carbon is Reach Nechayach, it's a proper carbon, meaning that there's no issue in with him going and serving Beis HaMikdash, because he wasn't involved in a true service to Avodah Zarah. Amar Yitzchak, Bar Avdimi, Mikro, how do we know this is true? I mean, it's a chiddush to say that. So we have the pasuk in Yechezkel, which is prophesizing about the days in the future, right? Where the Kohanim, unfortunately, who served Avodah Zarah, what happens to them? Yanesh Yishar Su'oysam Lefnei Giluleim. Show somebody the true service, Avodah, to the Avodah Zarah. In this case, they're locked out. They're involved in sin. Terrible, right? And the pasuk continues. They'll come back to Beis HaMikdash. And we learn from here. Only a kohen who's involved in true Avodah and Sherus, in acts which are deemed acts of Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, if it was not Avodah Zarah, they're locked out of the system. If he did Sherus, like Zrika, all that, then he's locked out. But Shechita, that doesn't count. Shechita lav Sherus. It's not really considered Avodah, it's not really considered serving. And therefore, even if he did it Avodah Zarah, he's allowed back in the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Gemara. Itmar, Shogag b'Zrika. Let's say he proceeded and did Zrika, but he did it b'shagig, not realizing that it's asr, right? So again, a kind that zrikat avodah zarah b'shagig. What's the status regarding serving now Beis HaMikdash? We have machlekes. Rav Nachman says he's still okay. Rav Sheshe says no. Rav Nachman amar karbon erech nechayach. He can serve at the Mikdash. Rav Sheshe amar no, ain karbon erech nechayach. If he did zrikat avodah zarah, he's locked out. Amar Rav Sheshe, mina aminullah, how do I know that he's locked out? Yosef, the pasuk we just cited. V'hoyu leveis yisro lemichshol avayin. There's michshol and there's avayin. Right? Avayin is mezid, Rashi brings, based on the Gemara Yuma. Avoynes means doynes, right? So michshol means even b'shaygeg. If he was involved in the Zara, he's out. He's tainted to the point that he's disqualified from doing avayin b'samigdash. L'michshol avayin. My love, let's assume one or the other. Ay michshol, which is b'shaygeg. Ay avayin or b'mezid. Right? Umichshol means shaygeg, v'avin means mezid. So we see even b'shaygeg, he's locked out. Rav Nachman learns differently. Michshol di'avayin. He faltered intentionally. But if it's b'shaygeg, it's not. Om Rav Nachman min Allah, how do I know that he's still qualified? D'sanya. We have a b'risa based on a pasuk. V'chiper ha-koyin ala nefesh. This is a pasuk by Avodah Zarah. Ha-choyta ha-shegeges b'chot, b'cheta b'shgog. We learn from here that even if the Kohen himself, right, the Kohen will be mechapar on his own nefesh, that was choyte b'shkoga. That's how Rashi learns. That's the deeper meaning of the pasuk. Even the Kohen himself was a sinner, he can do his own carbon. So we see that although he was involved in the Zora, he's still okay. Even if he did it by the Zora, he can address his own carbon and process it. Now, what exactly did he do today by the Zora? Did he do Shechita only? Why is the pasuk focused on shogeg by shechita? Rav Nachman holds even if he did shechita by zor b'meizit, it's not an avodah, it doesn't count. Afilu meizit nami el alav, so must be the pasuk which allows him back when he did something by shogeg. Speaking even if he did this zrika by shogeg tavei zor alav zrika. That's why I know that shogeg by zrika is allowed back in the Beis Hamikdash. Rav Sheshes who disagrees, I'm not going to tell you no. Leilu b'shechita. The pasuk here is allowing him to do avodah when he did avodah zor. Merely with shechita, but that's only limited to a shogeg, because of Sheshes. We'll now add another point. Another point of disagreement with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had said that shechita even b'meizid doesn't disqualify him. No, or b'meizid loy. The reason why the pasuk zeroes in on shogeg, specifies shogeg, because if he did shechita, even shechita, but if it's b'meizid, no, he's out. Nasa mishoreis. Does anything but made even shechita? Avodah Zorah is like a becomes like a mesharis avodah zorah. He's labeled as a avodah zorah servant, and he's out of it. So this discussion ties in to another discussion which we had regarding this topic. Meaning, Their opinions reflected here is in line with their opinions stated elsewhere. The Itmaz we learned. He said b'shechita. If he did shechita b'meizid tavei dezor, Rav Nachman Amar, it's okay. Karbon erech nichayach. Rav Sheshes Amar, no, it's not okay. Ain't karbon erech nichayach. Why? Rav Nachman Amar, it works. Karbon erech nichayach is still okay. The levet sheris, he didn't do sheris. Sheris synonymous with real avodah. Shechita is not. Rav Sheshes Amar, ain't karbon erech nichayach. No, he can't do avodah mishamidash. Although he was merely involved in shechita, which isn't technically an avodah, but if he did it b'meizid, he connected to the avodah zarah to the extent that we don't let him back in. He turned on the base. Nasa mesharis. He is now labeled as a mesharis l'avodah kichav. Amar v'nachman. So we sort of went from one element to the next. We started with a shy love. Zrika b'shogeg, what happens? Rav Nachman says still okay. Rav Sheshes says it's not okay, and that sort of linked us to the next question: shechita b'meizid. Rav Nachman says okay. Rav Sheshes says not okay. Says Rav Nachman, how do I know that shechita b'meizid doesn't disqualify him? Oh, Rav Nachman, no, I mean, how do I know that? The sign of a brisa: koyin she'oved abis chav v'shav, a koyin who did of a desire and repented. We open the doors for him. Karbon erech nechayach b'may. What activity did he do? Ilam b'shogeg. How did he do it? Under what mindset? Was it b'shogeg? Apparently not, because the Braisa refers to him doing teshuva. Apparently it was b'meizid, and he did teshuva later. My b'shav, if it was b'shogeg all along, why mention b'shav? Shav ha'imidu, he's shav to begin with, meaning to say it was never a true deviation. It was b'shogeg. El abshita b'meizid. Apparently, we're speaking that he did it intentionally. Okay, so now we have the mindset. But what act did he do? Viva zrika. Did he do zrika? Well, kishav mayhavi. What good is it that he came back and did teshuva? Too late. Ha'avad lo sheris. He served avad zara with a bona fide act of sheris, which disqualifies him. It's too late. He can't do tshuva. He can do tshuva, but he's still locked out of the middash. He's tainted. Ella b'shechita. Apparently, we're speaking that he did shechita. Shechita only. And in this case, we say even b'meizid. He's still allowed back. Right? Because once he does tshuva, he's allowed back. Rav Sheshes Amalach. Rav Sheshes responds. He says, no, lo'ilam b'shogeg. You're right, he did shechita, but it was b'shogeg only. The Braisa means like this: Im shav meikaray, the shav didn't happen later. To begin with, he was shav, meaning he was in a state of tshuva, meaning he wasn't really into it. It was a shaygik. Right? Which means to say that initially when he did that to Shechita, it was B'Shegig. B'Shegig Avad. So he did Shechita B'Shegig then. It's not so severe, and he has a way back. But otherwise, if he did even just Shechita, but he did it B'Mezid, he's out. Ein Karbonei Rech Nechayach. Okay, so far we have two machlokes regarding a kohen who's involved in the Zorah. On different levels, whether he's disqualified permanently from serving the Beis HaMikdash further. One is Shechita B'Emezit. Rav Nachum says he's still okay, Rav Sheshet says not. One is Zrika B'Shoigig. Again, the same Machlekes. Now, we have two more applications to this Machlekes. Hishtach B'Levedes Kacham. What if he merely bowed? He didn't do like a curb, he just bowed. And we're talking B'Emezit. Again, the same achlokes of Nachman Omar. He's allowed to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. Karbon Erech Nechayach. Rosh Hashanah Omar Ein Karbon Erech Nechayach. Fourth example, Chayyidel Avid Kechavim. He acknowledged Avid Zara. He accepted the dominion upon himself verbally. What happens now? Same achlokes of Nachman Omar. Karbon Erech Nechayach. Rosh Hashanah Omar Ein Karbon Erech Nechayach. Now, why do we need four different, you know, points of machlekes? Bitricha, each one teaches us a separate point. Diash min and hakamais. Suppose we only learned the first, about the first machlekes, where there was the Zrika b'shoigig. I would say, you know what, by he, k'amar v'sheshes, perhaps it's only there v'sheshes says that he's locked out. Mishmud avad l'sheshes, he did an act of sheshes. Zrika is an act of avad. Aval shchita l'avad l'sheshes, but v'shchita, which is not technically a sheshes act. So perhaps even if he did it b'mezid, all agree b'shegig is okay. The question is b'mezid. So perhaps a'amaydele to Rav Nachum. Perhaps he agrees to Rav Nachum that it's still okay, and that's why we mentioned that as well. V'yash min shechita. Next, if we only learn the shechita as well, shem da'avad le'avoid, I would say, you know what? After all, shechita, even though it's not on the same level of the, as the other steps in the process of the akrava, but it's technically part of the avoida. But just bowing, aval ishtachva loy loy le'avoida, but just bowing, it's not an avoida. It's not part of the carbon process. Emeloi, perhaps it's not as severe. Tzricha, that's why we mentioned that case as well, to highlight that Rav Sheshes disqualifies him there too. And finally, v'yashmin hishtachva. If we stop there by the bowing and do not proceed to the next case of acknowledgement, mishun avalei ma'isa, I would say hishtachva is a physical act. You know, it has that effect on the kohen. Aval hoide, but merely verbal acknowledgement. The dibur ba'am, it's merely verbal acknowledgement. Emelei, perhaps that doesn't have the same effect. Tzricha. That's why we go through the whole list of all four cases. So again, shechita b'shoigig, all agree, he's still okay. Shechita b'mezid, tzricha b'shoigig, yishtachva, or hoide. And all four of Nachman says, he's still in, and of Sheshes says he's out. Okay, back to the Mishnah. We spoke about Beis Chonyoi. The Kohanim who served there are locked out of the Mikdash. And it goes without saying if they actually served an idol, which implies that Beis Chonyoi wasn't technically idol worship. The fact that the Mishnah makes that contrast, it goes without saying if they served idol, that it implies to us that the Beis Chonyoi love avodas kechom. The Beis Chonyoi wasn't technically avodas zara; it was just a bama, right? But it wasn't avodas zara. In fact, Tnan commanded Amar Beis Chonyoi love avodas kechom. So this Mishnah is in line with the Shita that Beis Chonyoi was not avodas kechom. The Sani, we have machlekes in the Brisa. So first we have Rav Meir, who holds that actually it was unfortunately a situation of Avodah Zarah, and Rav Yehuda says, no, it was just it was meant L'Shem Shemayim, it wasn't really Avodah Zarah, it was inappropriate, but it wasn't technically Avodah Zarah, which is in line with our mission's approach. Asani Oysa Shana. So what was the background to this whole story? So it so happened that the year Shimon HaTzadik had passed away. So prior to his passing, Amar Lehi, he turned to the people and he says, this is my last year. Shana zu humeis, I'm going to pass away very soon this year. Amar Lehi, so they asked him, how do you know? Minayin ati yodeya? Amar Lehi, he says, I'll tell you very simple. Kol yom kippurim, every yom kippur, when I serve in the Mikdash, when I enter the Kaddish HaKadoshim, on that holy day, nizdamali, hayom nizdamali, zok and echad, I would encounter an aged image, Lobush Levonim, Utaf Levonim, dressed and wrapped in white, V'nichnas Imi, he would enter with me, he would accompany me to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yotzei me and escort me out. Shanazu, but this year things changed. He was wearing black as a sign of mourning, as a sign of the upcoming, the pending tragedy, passing. Is Damali Zaken Echad Lovish Shechorim, Misatav Shechorim, this year? Zaken was wearing black. He entered with me, but he didn't walk me out. And that's what happened. Nachar Regals, after the Yom Tov of Sukkot, Cholosh Shivas Yomim, Shimon HaTzadik fell ill for 7 days, and then he passed away, Umeis. And on account of his passing, his brethren, the Kohanim, at that point, stopped using the special Shem HaMefoirish during the Birchas Kohanim. They did not consider themselves worthy of that anymore. V'nimnu Echav HaKohanim, and his brethren, the Kohanim, refrained melevorech b'shem to say their Birchas Kohanim, the Shem HaShem, Shem HaMefoirish. B'shas Tiros. Okay, so what happened? When he was passing away, Omar Lahem, he declared like this. This was his will. Chanyai b'ni yishamish tachtei. My son Chanyai should take over my position, should be the Kohen Gadol in my place. And Tesis says, even though it seems from the next Gemara that he wasn't the most learned person, but he was a Erlich Yid, he had the Yirah Shamayim in a big way. So Shimon HaTzadik deemed him worthy of taking him over. Problem is, he had an older brother who didn't take to it too well. Niskana by Shimi Achiv, Shimi's brother, arouses jealousy. Because he's 2.5 years older than him. So he wanted to do him in. Listen to this. Amar Lois, he told his younger brother, come, let me help you figure things out. You know, you're going to become a Kohen Gadol. The first day is your big day, your day of inauguration. I'll teach you the process of what happens on that first day. Boy, let me teach you how to do the service to Mesa Migdash on your first day. Hilbishav Unkli, listen to this gangster. So he dressed him with the Unkli, some sort of leather garment, not really appropriate for the Avodah Mesa Migdash. V'chagroi b'tzoltzol, and he belted him with a with some sort of belt, and he sent him into Beis HaMikdash like that. Hamidah Yitzal Mizbeach Amar Lehem, and then he turned to the Kohanim and says, look what he's wearing. Amar Lehem Lechav HaKohanim, turn to the Kohanim, Ru, take a look, he's making a mockery of the Beis HaMikdash. Ru Manada, you know he's wearing these unusual attire. Ru Manada Zeh V'kiyam Lavuvasai, look, he promised his wife, and he's keeping his word to his wife. He told her, the day that I'm appointed, I'm going to wear his wife's begadim. Oysayim sheshtamish, we're going to go, the day that I go into the kunag doyla, elbosh bu'unkli shalichi, I'm going to put on your garment, ve'ekar, and your belt, b'tzilzo shalichi. The kehanim did not take to it too well. And bikshu echav gan l'harga, they wanted to kill him. Ratz b'pneim, so Chanyai escaped. V'atzru achram, they chased him. They pursued him. Halach l'gzanei shem Mitzrayim. He ended up in Mitzrayim, and he made an alternate arrangement. Ubana shem mizbeach. He built a mizbeach. V'hela olav l'shum avetz kichav. That's it. He started doing avetz kichav. He felt rejected. He felt like an outcast. And he, because shamacham bedaber, when the chacham heard about this incident, how his brother manipulated him, and how Chanyai had to flee as a result. Amru, they said like this, what a Musar Haska, what a life lesson in terms of a person's vulnerability. If he doesn't work on his personality, doesn't develop his midas, look what jealousy can cause. Amru, they said, Mazeh, look, even Shimi, Shimi, Shelo Yerla, who never was appointed to the position, meaning, it wasn't like he was, ever experienced it, like he ever tasted it. Kach, he he still had such a high level of jealousy that brought him to such a despicable act, a despicable, you know, reaction. Imagine a person already has a high position. He's really vulnerable to the extent that you don't remove him. Do anything you could not to ruffle his feathers, because once he's up there and he's you can really do him a lot of harm by if you fire him from the job, and can really get desperate. So even a person who never acquired position is so wanting of that position. Certainly once you have the position, very hard to give it up so easily. Hayaridla, a person who's already appointed and already got the position, certainly you have to be careful, you know, not to depose him, lest he come to do it desperate, desperation. Okay, Dibur Rav Meir. That's Rav Meir's opinion on the whole story, that it was Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda disagrees, he says it wasn't Avodah Zarah, and actually it was the other way around. Like Kacha Yemaisa, this is not the way the story went. Ella, rather, the story is like this. Chanyai really deferred to the older brother. So although the father, Shimon HaTzadik, had appointed Chanya, but Chanya wasn't willing to accept a position. He knew he had an older brother. Amar Ella Lo Kiva Lo Chanya. Chanya did not accept a position. He wasn't willing. Why? Shaya Shimi Achiv Gadlu Menesh Teshan Mechza, because his brother was 28 years older than him. So he deferred to Shimi, but not wholeheartedly. Deep inside, he was jealous. He wanted it. Vava began instilling the skana by Chanya b'Shimi Chini Chanya. He was jealous of Shimi, of his brother. So although he gave it to him, but deep down he wasn't happy about it. Amar Loi, so he manipulated him and he wanted to do him in. So it was the same story but in reverse. Amar Loi, so he tells the Shimi, boy, let me teach you how things work in the Mishnah Midrash. And the whole story will be Shibun Bunkli dressed him in the garment, Vichagir Betzilzav, and Midrash Mizbech, and he sent him up at the Mizbech. Amar Lehem, Lech Vakehanim, and now Chanyai, according to the story, Chanyai, referred him to the Kehanim. Look what's going on with my brother. Rum, another, Zevikim, Lahavasai, look, he made a deal with his wife. I say, Ayay, look, I'm going to dress your clothing on the day of my inauguration. I'm going to wear your garments. And they weren't very happy with him. The Kana wanted to punish him, kill him, for disrespecting Beis HaMikdash. And he said, well, hold it, let me tell you the story. It's all a setup. My little brother did me in Sachlem, so he revealed to him, he related to him, called him the whole story, and now the tables turned, and he wanted to punish Chanyai for arranging this whole fiasco. Bikshu Lahargis Chanyai, and he ran away, and that was the whole story. Rotsu and Pemsu, he escaped. Rotsu Achrab, and they chased him. Rotsu Lisamel, he went to the king's palace. Rotsu Achrab, and they pursued him there as well. He couldn't get away. Kalaroy Oysa, whoever would spot him would say, oh, that's him, Aymer. He would say, Zeu, Zeu, that's him. Zeu, Zeu. So he didn't really feel safe there. Holach, Alexandria Shom Mitzrayim, so he went to Alexandria, and he built the Mizbeach there. But it wasn't only the Zara. Ubana Shom Mizbeach, well, all of Shem Shemaim. He did a mizbech and he did karbanis for Hashem's sake. Shemar, payma hu yiyam mizbech l'Hashem b'seich Hashem Mitzrayim. Umatzei be'etzel gvula l'Hashem. So there's a pasuk describing this phenomenon and it relates it to Hashem. By the way, Tosfos asks, how could you? What do you mean he did it for Hashem? There's an isra, you're not allowed to take karbanis outside the Beis Hamikdash. So he said it was meant for goyish karbanis, and some say eventually it turned into everybody used it. In any case, the initial intention was not. Okay, and the takeaway was, Hashem heard about the whole story. The takeaway was, Amru, it concluded how much a person has to be careful. Umaza shebarach meno. Kach, look, let's think for a second. Chanyai deferred. He gave up the opportunity for his older brother. Barach meno, right? Kach. But look how he still wanted it. And wasn't really giving it up so wantingly. Resorted to very inappropriate behavior, because deep inside he really wanted it. Could you imagine how mivakesh le'erdlo, a person really, really is pursuing a certain position and really wants it. Alachas kam v'kamo, Certainly, he's in a very precarious state, very, very delicate, fragile, emotional state, if he actually is deposed and loses that position. So basically, got to be careful before you fire him, because it can lead to grave consequences. In fact, Tanya, Orosho and Prachya, who we know was a Nasi, he says, you know what? My mindset totally changed once I occupied the position. Totally different attitude. But Chila, initially, before I was appointed, I don't need it, I don't want it. Kleimer, Leila, if somebody would propose to me, go, take the position. No, what are you talking about? I don't want to be a rab, I was binding of a nice lefnari and feed him to the lion. It's an expression meaning I would totally reject it out of hand. I don't want, you know, position of prominence. But Atta now that I've tasted it, I've got a taste for it. Once you're up there, it's very hard. Despite his totally altruistic, you know, intentions, but deep down, a person's a person. Once you get comfortable in your seat, once I'm up there, I'm appointed to this position, calamely later, man, if somebody would propose that I vacate, that I abdicate, you know, my position of prominence, not so quickly. Animat love kumkum shal chamra, I'll pour on him a container of hot water. And we see that in history by Shaul HaMelech, Shaul HaMelech, Baruch Man initially, out of humility, tremendous anava, he didn't want the position. But once he got there, and once he was appointed king, look what happened with when he perceived, you know, some element of competition coming from the direction of David HaMelech. He pursued him, and the whole story, Bikesh, Laharig wanted to kill us David, so we see how precarious a state a person's in once he's up there. Have to be careful not to you know, depose a person, not to Mayrid, not Russian, Mayrid, I say, be careful not to put him in the position of Nisayan. Okay, so in conclusion, we have the story of Beis Chonya, two versions. According to our Mishnah, was not a Beit Zara. It was just a bama. So a person pledges to bring an oila in Beis Chonyoy. So even if he doesn't bring in the Beis Hamidash, he has fulfilled his pledge. According to some, it's really a carbon oila, which is now susceptible to the halacha of Shechut Eichutz and his Chayiv Karis. But technically, he doesn't have to re-bring it to fulfill his pledge, because initially he wasn't really planning on doing more than that. A kohen who was meshamish in Beis Chonyoy is locked out of the Beis Hamikdash. A special penalty, a special knas. Certainly, if he was involved in Avodah Zarah, in various you know, aspects of Avodah Zarah, we have four machlekes regarding you know, what exactly disqualifies and what doesn't. And then we got involved in the whole story and the Musar Haskel, which is the power of kavod, the power of position of prominence. How can affect even the greatest of the greatest? And one has to be careful to remain unaffected as much as possible. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.